If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 9, and I'm going to get as far as I can get. I might not be able to complete everything, but that's okay. We'll just go as far as we can. And we're going to leave space at the end. We're making space for an invitation. If you want ministry, you need someone to pray for you specifically. We're going to make space for that. We're going to have an invitation. If you need someone just to bless you and to pray the prayer of faith over you, we have team members that will be getting ready to do that right after our teaching. Verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be up on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. We're going to stop there right now. Father, thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for what you're doing. You're always at work. And now, Lord, let your word just come alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name, would you say with me, yes and amen. When we are born into a country, we are given the rights of that country. So when I was born into the United States of America, I was given rights, not because of anything I worked for, anything I have done, but because I was born into this country, rights were given to me as a citizen of that country. Now, the same is true in the kingdom of God. When we're born into the kingdom of God, when we're born again, we are given rights that we don't work for, we don't earn. They're given to us by the ruler of that government. His name is Jesus. So you don't work for it. You don't earn it. You don't have to strive for it. It is given to you, and it's called the kingdom of God. Someone say yes and amen to that. So we are giving these rights as children of God. And I believe that one of the things that we wrestle with as his kids is that we are ignorant of the rights that we have received. That we don't get it. I don't think apathy is the issue of the church. And this is just my personal belief. You might think differently. I don't think apathy is an issue. I don't think indifference is an issue. I think we just don't get it. All that God has given us. And so we live at the posture of what we know. If we know a certain amount and God says, but I have given this to you, but we live here, then there's this sense of, if I don't know it, I don't possess it. I told this story I read a number of years ago, and I'm just going to illustrate it I'm transitioning from worship to teaching, so forgive me for a moment. The presence of the Lord was really cool, and is really cool. I read the story of this family that was traveling from Europe to the United States, and they purchased tickets for the family on this cruise ship, this liner to go across from Europe to the U.S. And it was going to take a month for them to go from Europe to the United States of America. And the dad had enough money to buy the tickets, but they didn't have enough money for food for a month. So what they did was they bought as much bread and cheese that they could, and they were going to just make it happen until they got across to the United States of America. Well, the stewards, as they were going through the checklist of passengers, they recognized that the certain passengers continually were not showing up at dinners. They were not there. And so after a few weeks, the steward knocked on the door and said, are you guys okay? We've been missing you. Are you okay? And the dad kind of sheepishly and kind of humiliated say, well, we didn't have enough money to buy food. We just had enough money to buy the ticket. And the steward said, don't you realize that when you bought the ticket, you got the food with it? And guys, when we come into salvation, we get the whole kit and caboodle. Do you realize that when it's not a gospel of salvation, but it's a gospel of the kingdom, and salvation is the entry point into this kingdom. And we're going to look at a scripture verse in just a moment if we get there, but that God has given us the keys of the kingdom. God has given us his kingdom. Why? Because we are born again. We are born into the kingdom. Isaiah, when he talks about this, he said, and his name shall be called. These are not superfluous titles to make the Messiah look great. These are applications. These are identities of the Messiah, how he's going to rule his government. So his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. That when Isaiah prophesied the Messiah, and we believe that Messiah, his name is Jesus Christ, that when he came as the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And so when we look at his life, did his life reflect these entities, these titles, these names? The government shall be on his shoulders. How is he going to operate this government? And Isaiah tells us this is the way in which our God operates his government, but he doesn't hold the government to himself. He now shares with us his government. Now, as we come along, as we are looking at government, I was just going to take a few moments and trying to get down to Prince of Peace, because Prince of Peace, we're talking about peace right now, but I kind of got stuck on his names and his titles. And so I'm just, like I said, I'll get as far as I can, and then we'll just continue our next time. So when Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, these two words are supposed to be joined together. We sing a song or have in the past, his name is wonderful, his name is wonderful. And wonderful means this: one who will excite wonder and amazement. That God says when he comes into this world as the Messiah, his counsel, his wisdom, the one who has, and this is what counselor means, one who has the right, the wisdom to stand among kings and princes and to give them wisdom to be able to rule and to be able to guide a nation. That Jesus Christ, and how important this is, when a king rules a people, his word is law. And a wise king would have wise counselors, because he knew that whatever he said was going to impact the whole nation that he served, that whole nation that he ruled. And so he would get wise people to give him wise counsel, because the counsel was more than for himself. It was for all the people. Jesus Christ alone carries enough wisdom and counsel to be able to create excitement and wonder in our world. So do we see that in his life? Definitely. When Jesus walked the planet, people would stop and say, who is this guy? What kind of wisdom does he have? What kind of counsel does he have? In fact, the Pharisees would constantly try to trip Jesus up. And one of the most famous stories is when they asked Jesus, is it okay to pay taxes to Caesar? And they did what we know as a gotcha moment. Jesus had no way out of this moment. And Jesus said, show me a coin. And the coin, he goes, whose inscription's on it? He goes, Caesar. And you know what he says? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and what is God. And they walked away and no longer challenged him, because the counsel and the wisdom of God made them go, wow. Isn't great Jesus is that way? But dear ones, he gives that to us. We don't have to muck about trying to figure out life. He is a wonderful counselor. Somebody high-five yourself and go, that's so good. Come on, right? He is a wonderful counselor. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, I'm going to go away, but here's what he says. I'm going to leave you another counselor. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that we are not left to ourselves to try to figure out life, but because we've entered into this kingdom, we have been given counsel, a wonderful counselor who will counsel our lives, that make us say, wow, really? In Colossians chapter 2, Paul writes these words. He wanted to go to Laodicea, and he wanted to meet the people at Laodicea, the church, and he wasn't to try to impress them. Here's what he said. Here's my purpose. I need to talk about Jesus. And look what he says in Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3. He says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God doesn't keep things from us. He keeps things for us. God keeps things not from us. He keeps them for us to discover. And this wisdom, first of all, you and I have been given Holy Spirit, who is the counselor of God. And also, this book is not just something we read because we're supposed to. This is the wisdom of God. This is the counsel of God. This is where God says, I'm going to take my words and I'm going to pour out my wisdom into your heart so that you know my very mind. And what does that wisdom do? Wow. It creates awe and wonder. Dear ones, this is so basic, if you will, but we can't get away from this. We can't just go, you know, I got this figured out. When you're 12 and you read this Bible, and when you're 20, this Bible, same words are going to have a different meaning because it's the wisdom of God. And to know his wisdom means you know his word. To know his wisdom means Holy Spirit is making his words alive in your heart. And what does it create? A sense of awe and wonder. Guys, we don't have to figure this out in this kingdom. We don't have to just go, man, I got to be smart. I've got to be cutting edge. I got to be the next thing. I got to be on top of the next thing. No, we know this and we live with wisdom that makes us go, ah. Oh. Say these words with me. He's my wonderful counselor. Just because you were born again, this is how his government rules. His people should be the people of wisdom. Okay, I need to move on. Okay, he's the mighty God. He's mighty. So not only has the wisdom for his people, he's got the strength to fulfill his wisdom. Not only he goes, yeah, I'm all wise, but he is also all powerful. And this word mighty God carries this idea of that what he wills will be accomplished. What he desires will happen. You see, the government is not on my shoulders. The government's not on your shoulders. There's no human being that the government's on their shoulders. Jesus said, the government is on my shoulders. Now, I have read for years the demise of the church. I have read the Western church is going the way of the dodo bird. And I have never once freaked out about that because the government is on his shoulders. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, will the church look different? Absolutely. In fact, here's one of the things I feel like the Father's doing right now, my personal opinion. Hebrews 12 says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but we are receiving an eternal kingdom that can never be shaken. And I think what's taking place, especially in the Western church right now, is God is just kind of shake it off. Things that we have embraced as biblical, which is not biblical, God is saying, I got to shake that off. That's not eternal. That's not the kingdom. Boy, I could go off on a soapbox on that one real quick, but I'm going to stay away from it. So what Jesus did, when Jesus came into the earth, he gave counsel, but he also worked in power. So what do you see Jesus doing? He just doesn't come to save sin, but he heals diseases. He fixes broken bodies. He opens up blind eyes. See, in that day, if you were blind, they didn't have cataract surgery. You were blind. That's just the way it is. If you had a broken arm and it couldn't get fixed, that would become a withered limb. That's just the way it is. And Jesus comes in his kingdom, mighty God power, and he says to disease, you have to go. Pastor Jeff was talking about it today. We were going after it today. That, dear ones, part of what has been given to us as his kids is the authority over sickness, disease, and even death. And I get it. How many of you ever prayed for somebody and it just didn't happen? And you prayed again, it didn't happen. You prayed again, it didn't happen. Dear ones, this is where we have to switch kingdoms. We've got to switch a kingdom from, well, it didn't happen, so I guess it's not for today, into my king says, this is the authority that has been given to me. I don't fully understand it. Trust me. Hold on. Yeah, that's okay. I don't fully get it. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. There's no, like, we've been praying for Deb for 30 years for her migraines, okay? We have been praying. I don't get it sometimes. I don't fully understand it. But it doesn't mean that by faith we cannot say to our Father, this is what you have given to us as your children. And I've heard story after story of people who have believed God wanted them to bring healing to people. And as they prayed for them, they died. And they didn't get well. And the eyes weren't open. But instead of stepping back away from mighty God, they step toward it and say, God, I don't fully understand, but your word says this, I can lay my hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I'm going to keep doing that. And I have heard testimonies of 100 people, 200 people, 300 people, nothing happened. But then suddenly, because we're making space, we're just going to keep saying, God, you're mighty God. You're mighty God. See, guys, we don't make these words up. I didn't take my Bible and say, you know what? I think right here would be a good place to say, and God wants to use me to heal people. Let's just scratch that in. Everybody scratch it in. These are the words of God that he gave us. I don't fully understand it, but it doesn't mean I can't fully embrace it. Now listen, Paul says this. Paul says this in Romans chapter 15. How much time do I have? Romans chapter 15. Look what he says. He writes, he's closing his letter to the Romans, and in verse 17, he says this, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and what I have done. By the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. To fully proclaim the gospel of Christ means that we just don't speak the words of salvation, but we have a mighty God who backs up his words with signs following. We owe a generation. We owe the next generation that our kids we pray for all the time. We owe to them a new normal. We owe to them where they walk into our families, into our churches. They walk into the relationship we have with God. And they would say to their classmates in kindergarten, my mama got healed of her knee. Isn't that cool? Without saying, wait, you can't talk that way. That could be embarrassing. My mama got healed. Isn't that great? What happened? Well, Jesus healed her. That's normal. He's mighty God. He's might. Would you say that? He's mighty God. Father, we just pray over that again. We break off sickness in Jesus' name. You're mighty God. We didn't make these words up. We didn't create these words out of our own thoughts. You have shown yourself as mighty God. And we refuse to keep stepping back and stepping back and stepping back. And generation after generation just steps back and say, well, I haven't seen it. I don't believe it. Until finally we just don't believe anything. But today we just say yes to mighty God. That the God of yesterday, today, and forever. The God who spoke to an ocean, to a sea, and the storm stopped. To the God in John chapter 14 says, if anyone believes in me, he will do what I have been doing so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask anything in my name and I will do it. Lord, we refuse to tear your word apart to excuse why it's not happening. And instead, we posture ourselves with faith saying, we believe. And we say yes to what you have given us as your kingdom kids. And dear family, what we have done, I think hopefully we're beyond that. We have put people in postures of shame and what's wrong with you if you're not well. That is so wrong. I had a stronger word, but I think I'll just keep it wrong. Because love doesn't do that. Yeah. In Luke chapter 12, read with me if you would. Luke chapter 12. Thank you, my Father. This Luke 12 is parallel passage in Matthew chapter 6. And we know Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But Luke 12, Jesus is talking about, don't worry about what you're going to eat or the clothes you're going to wear, food. You know, your father needs that, knows that you need them. Verse 31, but seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. Verse 32, Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, this isn't our topic today, but look at verse, just to keep context, verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what we know in this, that part of his kingdom is generosity. If we have struggled giving, and here's what I did for a long time. Well, how do I know where that money's going? How do I know that that's money's, how do I know? And I would try to talk myself out of just obeying the kingdom principle. If I am a kingdom man, I'm going to be a generous person. If possessions have too much of my life, then I need to do something about that. Remember, it's putting into practice the word of God. It's just not knowing something. Start giving. Start tithing. Start giving your money away. Give it, give it, give it. Why? Because it's a kingdom principle that our king established. And that's a whole different subject, so I'm going to let it go for right now. Okay. Somebody say, okay. Thank you. Let's be done with this one, and we'll catch the next one. I know I'm on peace. I haven't even got to it yet. He's the everlasting Father. The Hebrews use the word father like for grandfather, for father, for originator, for an ancestor, for a ruler. Like in John 8, Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. He didn't biologically make lies, that he is the originator of all lies. It comes from Satan. So when you hear a lie, you know where it comes from. If you speak a lie, you're speaking in tongues, but a wrong one. Because the people of God, we don't speak lies. That's not our father's language, right? So the everlasting father means that he is the originator of all things. And like every other kingdom, his kingdom is going to be different because in his kingdom, he's never going to die. So in David's time, he was a great king for Israel. Won their battles, expanded their borders, and then Solomon comes along. And they said that during his reign, silver was like rocks. Buy silver. That's the next investment portfolio. Rocks, silver was so common that it was like buying rocks. They had such wealth, but now Solomon's son comes into the mix and now the kingdom begins to divide. One of the things that the promise of our king is that he's never going to die. So the same king that we're serving today, should he tarry, our great, 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 great grandkids will still serve the same monarch who's we're serving today. And his goal is to bless, to lead, to guide his people. Why? Because he's everlasting Father. He's the originator of it all, and he's never going to pass away. We never have to wonder, how is the church going to be after us? It's going to be really good. Because we've got a king who doesn't die. What's a church going to be like in the future? It's going to be awesome. Why? Because we got an everlasting father. What if persecution comes to America? Will the church die? No, because we've got an everlasting father. You see, it's not about us. It's about his authority on his shoulders where he says, I'm going to make sure my kingdom keeps advancing and there's nothing or no one who's going to stop it. And what I start, I'm going to finish. Dear family, one day we're going to see him. It's going to be so awesome. Face to face. One day his rule. See, we're not going to spend eternity in heaven. We're going to spend eternity on earth because he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to create. All this is going to be consumed by fire. All the sin that was introduced at the very beginning, and God's going to purify this earth. And this place you think is beautiful now, wait till the king gets a hold of it. And we get to rule and reign forever and ever and ever. Amen. Don't worry about tomorrow. Our everlasting Father is 3 weeks ahead of you right now. Well, he's beyond that, but you know what I'm saying? He's already in your future. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. He's there. I need to be done. Prince of Peace. We'll catch that next time.